of the hallmarks of our faith is religious tolerance. We have a long, proud history going back nearly 450 years when King John Sigismund of Transylvania, the only Unitarian king in history, proclaimed the Edict of Tolerance in 1568. Preachers shall be allowed to preach the gospel everywhere, each according to his own understanding of it. If the community wish to accept such preaching, well and good. If not, they shall not be compelled, but shall be allowed to keep the preachers they prefer. No one shall be made to suffer on account of his religion, since faith is the gift of God. This was such a radical idea at the time, at the height of the Reformation. It was so radical that both Catholics and Protestants persecuted Unitarians for it. People were killing each other over doctrines and creeds and dogma, and here were the Unitarians saying that no one shall be compelled in their religious belief or made to suffer on account of their religion. Pretty cool stuff, of which we are rightly proud. Radical in its day, most certainly, and really still pretty radical today in many ways. Religious tolerance. Tolerate. To recognize and respect the rights, beliefs, and practices of others. Recognize and respect the rights, beliefs, and practices of others. That is the definition we mean when we say we are tolerant. But here are a few more. To allow something to exist or happen, even though one does not approve of it. To put up with something or somebody unpleasant. To bear with repugnance. And how about these synonyms for tolerate? Endure, stomach, abide, digest, stand, live with, swallow, hold still for, suffer or endure passively. A member of my former church in Oregon City, who is a lesbian, once said to me, "I don't want to be tolerated." She wanted something much more active, like being embraced, accepted, seen, yes, cherished, for the whole person she is, including who and how she loves and how she sees the holy moving in her life. I like to tell people who ask about our faith that one of the things we are is Christian. Such a statement disqualifies us for those who define Christianity narrowly and exclusively, to be sure. Yet I want to stand in the lineage of those who defend our right to exist fully within the Christian tradition. Indeed, there have been small u Unitarians and Universalists as long as Christianity has been, long before we arrived distinctly on the religious scene. I once told an adult class about a colleague of mine who struggles in our ministry because she is Christian and feels Christianity is too often denigrated in our churches. Several people in the class wondered why she even bothers. Why didn't she simply find a Christian church? Many of us treat Unitarian Christian as an oxymoron. Too often, our tolerance of Christianity looks like bearing with repugnance. Now, I am fully aware that so much of this has to do with the damage the religious right has done to the good name of Christianity. What good name, some may well wonder, thinking of the Crusades, the Inquisition, and Galileo. Yet what of the great acts of love and charity and justice done in the name of Christianity? What of every justice movement of the last 200 years in this country, many of which would have gotten nowhere without the support of liberal Christians? From abolition and women's suffrage to the union movement, civil rights, reproductive rights, gay rights. What of liberation theology in Central and South America? The martyr Oscar Romero stood so firmly with the poor and disenfranchised of Guatemala that he was assassinated for it. Christianity, a faith, a deep and abiding faith in that tradition, inspired so many of the people who stood in those, for those justice issues, including those of our past and present. There is a call to love, an embracing and empowering love in Christianity that is written into our religious DNA, that is part of our Unitarian Universalist heritage. We are a Christian church. Certainly not exclusively any longer, but we stand firmly in the lineage of liberal Christianity. And if we lose our Christian connection, we lose something profound. Now, it is a sermon for another day, but we get our call to justice from the depths of our Judeo-Christian roots. Without them, we lose something central to who we are. This is in part why I deliberately use religious language and words, because these are our words too. I want to reclaim them and their power for us. Words like salvation and sacred, faith, redemption, holy. When we let others take these words from us, we give away too much. I know well why some are reactive to overtly religious language, particularly Christian language. But if we reject it outright, says the Reverend John Burins, we cede far too much ground to fundamentalism and narrow orthodoxy. He exhorts us to reclaim this territory. We routinely cede ground, he says, but we must move toward religious language, because when we move away, the abandonment costs us spiritually and ethically. When reading the Bible in particular, he says, we have to know the difference between a tire iron and a metaphor. From our beginnings, there were those who would kick us out of the Christian fold. Yet in 1819, when William Ellery Channing preached his sermon, Unitarian Christianity, he was claiming our religious ground within Christianity. Part of what Channing did in that sermon, which became a bestseller, by the way, and went into several reprintings, part of what he did was to criticize much of what stood for Christianity in his day. Quote, "It tends to discourage the timid, to give excuses to the bad, to feed the vanity of the fanatical, and to offer shelter to the bad feelings of the malignant. Shocking as it does, the fundamental principles of morality, And by exhibiting a severe and partial deity, it tends strongly to pervert the moral faculty, to form a gloomy, forbidding, and servile religion. Sounds like repugnance to me. And yet Channing went on to declare what it means to be a Unitarian Christian. Someone who is inspired to acts of love and compassion by the teachings of Jesus and the Christian spirit. And yet a person who is also wedded to the use of reason in religious life. Channing's text that day was from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Channing was not about to let the Orthodox kick Unitarians out. He widened the embrace of Christianity, claiming our ground within that tradition. Fast forward a couple of decades or more, and we come to Theodore Parker, who carried on Channing's message in his sermon, The Transient and Permanent in Christianity. In it, Parker explored what was indeed good and should be held on to in Christianity. Yet he, too, criticized much of what stood for Christianity in his day. Looking at the word of Jesus, at real Christianity, he said, the pure religion he taught, nothing appears more fixed and certain. Its influence widens as its light extends. It deepens as the nations grow more wise. But looking at the history of what men call Christianity, nothing seems more uncertain and perishable. While true religion is always the same thing, in each century and every land, in each man that feels it, the Christianity of the pulpit, the Christianity of the people, which is the religion that is accepted and lived out, that has never been the same thing in any two centuries or lands. In actual Christianity, he went on, there seem to have been, ever since the time of its earthly founder, two elements, one transient, the other permanent. The one is the thought, the folly, the uncertain wisdom, the theological notions, the impiety of man. The other, the eternal truth of God. It must be confessed, though with sorrow, that transient things form a great part of what is commonly taught as religion. An undue place has often been assigned to forms and doctrines, while too little stress has been laid on the divine life of the soul, love to God and love to man. Parker, too, defended Unitarian Christianity, although he was never so bold as to declare it permanent. How do we not know that there is not a perishing element in what we call Christianity, he asked. We cannot know. We can only hold fast to what we find to be good. There are plenty of versions of Christianity afoot today that we might well bear with repugnance. Yet there are other things we might embrace, accept, and yes, even cherish. How long did it take you to realize that our reading this morning, so beautifully read by Jenny, that our reading this morning was a version of the Lord's Prayer? To me, it is so beautiful with its many names for God and its tenderness of spirit. It's called to make justice in a commonwealth of peace and freedom here on earth. This prayer arises out of a particular culture and time, the New Zealand Anglican prayer book. yet it points to that which is beautiful and perhaps even permanent in Christianity, its heritage of love that is ours as well. I'm never really quite sure whether to call myself Christian. Don't get me wrong, I really like Jesus. But the teaching of the Buddha speaks more directly to my heart. And I utterly reject an atonement theology that requires blood sacrifice for my sins. I'm going to change the last line in There's a Balm in Gilead when we sing it in the second service. I'm going to say, he loved us all, and not that he died for all, because that's just not my theology. I don't even bear that atonement theology with repugnance. I do reject it outright. And yet, I love Judeo-Christian scripture and tradition. I love its myth and metaphor, the archetypal truths I find there. Sometimes I do still have to work at keeping the Bible from feeling more like a tire iron than metaphor. And yet when I do, I am always rewarded. The Bible remains my favorite scripture. As obtuse and challenging, contradictory and demanding as it is. And I love the Christian calendar, Advent leading to Christmas, Lent to Easter. I received ashes on my forehead this Ash Wednesday, a lesson in humility that I come from the earth and I will return there. We are made of stardust and we return to it. And I love the drama, the pathos, the triumph of Holy Week. Now, It might take a little bit here, but I think that the story of Pentecost, the one where the Holy Spirit came down in flames upon the gathered Christian community and they started speaking in tongues, I think the story of Pentecost is quintessentially Unitarian Universalist. The Holy Spirit descends upon the gathered community who all speak in different languages, and yet they understand each other. And I love Hebrew scripture as well, Genesis and Exodus, the eroticism of the Song of Solomon, the sweet yearning of the Psalms, the passion of the prophets who burned fiercely for justice. The Bible is a great piece of human literature, fully human document, which is partly why it is so obtuse, contradictory, and demanding. Yet once liberated from any sense that it is factual or historical or literal truth, it can become a constant source of wisdom and insight. Does this make me a Christian? I think it makes me a Unitarian Universalist Christian. Above all, this congregation must be a place where people who share our values, religious, ethical, and moral, will feel welcome whatever their particular spiritual inclinations. I know a woman who came to a Unitarian Universalism after leaving the Episcopal Church because it couldn't embrace all of who she is as a lesbian. She finds inspiration in many religious traditions, yet she is still powerfully drawn to Christianity. She finds it ironic that as a Unitarian Universalist, she often feels more comfortable in her church as a lesbian than she does as a Christian. If anyone who shares our core values is made to feel less than welcome in our churches, less than fully embraced, then we are not living up to our values. Where else could my friend, who calls herself, I love this, a Jew Boo Episcopagitarian Universalist, Where else might she find a spiritual home that embraces all of her? If Christianity remains at the center of her rich spiritual life, then her Christianity must be welcome, not just tolerated, but welcomed and embraced. We welcome that which is permanent in all religious traditions. So much of religious practice is transient, the forms, the doctrines, the rituals. Yet at the core of each is something true and beautiful and permanent. And that is what we hold on to. We stand in a tradition that enjoins us ever and always to prove all things. We do that part really well. Let's prove all things. Ponder, reflect, consider with heart and mind. And then we must hold fast to that which we find is good. One of the things that we are is Christian. That doesn't mean we all need to love Jesus, but for the people who love Jesus, they get to have him too. It doesn't mean that we don't continue to resist orthodoxy or the meanness of spirit that is too often proclaimed in the name of Jesus. It does mean that we can continue to be called forth by the depth of love that is found in this tradition from which we spring. It does mean that being a Unitarian Universalist Christian is a positive way of living out our free faith. I leave you with these final words from Theodore Parker. Be ours a religion which, like sunshine, goes everywhere. Its temple, all space. Its shrine, the good heart. Its creed, all truth. Its ritual, works of love. Its profession of faith, divine living. If we can manage to do all of that, whether you are a Jew, Boo, Episcopago, whatever, you will also be a fine Unitarian Universalist. Let us go forth and live this faith as it calls to us. And let us feel our whole selves welcomed and embraced here. And let us welcome the wholeness, the worthiness, the wholeness of all who join us. Amen and blessed be.